أوكي إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، So it's continuing on the Book of Knowledge, and these hadith, there's a few hadith which are connected to how the Prophet taught or how he encouraged people to teach, and also the virtues of knowledge. Okay. And the explanation was quite brief, so we'll hopefully go through more hadith. Yeah. So this chapter title, the Prophet used to take care of the people by selecting a suitable time to teach so that they wouldn't get bored or put off his teaching. From Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take care of us in preaching by selecting a suitable time so that we would not get bored, meaning that he didn't overdo it and continuously teach them. So that's the title heading, the chapter heading, that he would set aside a certain time so that people wouldn't get bored, and also people would then look forward to the next one after a gap. Okay, as-sa'ama is the Arabic word, is basically getting bored. And actually the story behind the hadith is Ibn Mas'ud. So the companions, obviously after the Prophet died, the companions went to different parts of the Muslim Ummah. And Ibn Mas'ud would give lessons every Thursday. And his student said, well, why don't you teach us every day? So then he said that he gave this hadith. But this is how the Prophet taught. So that makes sense, really, that, you know, give people appropriate time and give them a gap. The next hadith is from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The Prophet, this is a sort of, it's often quoted, this hadith. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Make things easy for the people and do not make them hard. And give them good news, good tidings, and do not make them flee away from you. Okay? So how can one implement that in teaching? If you're teaching non-Muslims or new Muslims or people who weren't so interested in Islam but getting more interested, so how would you try and teach them based on this hadith? Or how would you not try and teach them? What would be the wrong thing to do or the right thing to do? Yeah, that's true. And any examples of what you've experienced with, like, new Muslims and, you know, people? Have you ever experienced that thing where people just overdo it?
Preach to them.
Yeah. In England, did you ever see people doing things in a bad way? Or anywhere? I mean, oftentimes, I think you see it quite often, unfortunately, that people will, someone might be a new Muslim and they'll give them a pile of books, you know, like, you have to read all this thing. And then, or they tell them you have to do this and this and this and this, and you can't, you know, do this. And then they just get totally overwhelmed. Yeah. Or they might be very critical that you must be afraid of this and beware of this and don't do that. And it's like, you've got to be positive and encouraging and, you know, give people something positive to go for, isn't it? So Sheikh Abdul Razak mentions that this is an important point when you teach and give da'wah to Muslims and to non-Muslims. When the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to people from the people of the book in Yemen, so a new Muslim or someone who's just started practicing, you may repel him if you focus on the negative or mention too many things at once, give him too much information. And Sheikh Abdul Razak mentioned an example that if you want to give a new Muslim something, or someone's just started getting more interested in learning, you could just start with Nawawi's 40 hadith rather than, something very complex or a whole pile of books. And he said that that's such a nice collection of hadith because it touches on every aspect of the deen, on aqidah, on fiqh and different aspects of the deen. And then they'll get a taste of knowledge and then be interested in it and then also feel a sense of accomplishment if they've studied that, and then they'll go on to other things. And he mentioned the story of this carpenter. Sorry. So he's saying that Sheikh Abdul-Razzaq said himself that he would give lessons in Nawawi's 40 hadith in his local mosque. And there was a carpenter, just a regular, I think he missed some lessons and then he wanted to catch up. So the Sheikh explained them and then he caught up and then he attended them. And then he memorized the hadith as well. And then afterwards he said, now it's as if, because he said he went back to his group of friends or whatever. And he said, now it's like I'm an alim in front of my friends, because if any issue crops up, then I'll mention this hadith for that issue and then this hadith for that issue. So then the Sheikh encouraged him. He said, look, that's just a very beginning thing. So imagine, you should try and continue that and learn more and then keep on that process.
Innovating.
Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr about himself, about there was a carpenter who had attended his lessons. Then the next hadith, if Allah wants good for a person, He grants him understanding of the religion, from Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and this is often quoted. You might often hear this quoted. سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. So Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if Allah wants good for a person, He grants him understanding of the religion. وإنما أنا قاسم والله يعطي ولن تزال sorry, that's too small actually. ولن تزال هذه الأمة قائمة على أمر الله لا يضرهم من خالفهم حتى يأتي الله حتى يأتي أمر الله. So if Allah wants good for someone, He grants him understanding of the religion. I am just a distributor of the knowledge, but Allah is the one who grants this understanding. And remember that this nation, this ummah, the true Muslims amongst them, will keep on following Allah's teachings and religions correctly and strictly, and they will not be harmed by those who oppose them until Allah's command comes, meaning the Day of Judgment. So may yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqqihu fi ad-deen, whoever Allah wants good for, then He grants him understanding of the religion. So Bukhari just quoted that bit in the title. So there are three things that points the hadith is making about the Allah granting understanding. If Allah wants good for someone, He gives them understanding of the religion, and that Allah is the one who grants that. Okay, and then this good of the correct religion, will remain until the hour, until the last, just before the last times. So whoever Allah wants good for, He grants them understanding of the religion. Someone who's interested in striving to seek knowledge, then that's obviously a good thing. And all guidance and good comes from that first step of seeking knowledge. And there's another hadith, whoever travels a path in search of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. So knowledge is the starting point. Okay. Ibn Hajar said that based on this, this shows the virtue of the scholars over other people and the virtue of Islamic knowledge over the other branches of knowledge. And the opposite understanding, Sheikh Abdul Razak mentioned, is that someone who's uninterested in knowledge or has a poor understanding of the religion, not bothered about it, etc., that's a sign that Allah doesn't wish good for him. And then Sheikh Abdul Razak said that every Muslim should try and learn something every day, even if it's a small amount. And he said it's easy nowadays. There's so many ways to try and learn. And Salama radiallahu anha said that the Prophet ﷺ would say, he would make dua every morning, O Allah, inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbalan. O Allah, indeed I ask you for beneficial knowledge and good halal provision, rizq, and actions which are accepted. So the prophet was asking for this every day. So that should be like a target, something in a goal which you should have in mind. Yeah. And I'm the one, I'm just someone who distributes, but Allah is the one who actually grants the understanding. So that's a gift from Allah, that Allah gives it to whom He wills. Okay? وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. That's why we make the dua. Oh Allah, grant us increase in knowledge. So we should apply the means. We have to put the legwork in. We have to make the effort. We have to read or study or listen or whatever, learn from a teacher, and ask Allah to grant us success, that it bears fruit, and that we do get this sound understanding. And then the last bit, that the ummah will remain upon good until the hour, or till just before the hour. And you may feel despair because of all the problems, the misguidance, the sinfulness, and the fitna, the attacks upon the Muslims. May lose hope, may lose heart. But this is reassuring that the good will remain right until the end. And in another narration, it's mentioned that a group from the ummah, so it's not necessarily the whole ummah, because the ummah may contain sinful people or misguided people, but there will be a group from the ummah who will remain upon the truth. Those who stick to Allah's commands and avoid His prohibitions, who will stick to the deen. And then at the end of time, hatta ya'tiya amrullah, that's referring to the time when at the end of the time, at the end of time, just before the day of judgment is established, then Allah will send a wind which will take the souls of the believers. You know about that? So there's other hadith, and the scholars mentioned that this is what it's referring to, that at the end of time, there will be obviously the major signs of the Day of Judgment. So then a wind will come, and it will take away the souls of all the believers. So the only people left on earth will be the most sinful and disbelieving people. Then the remaining stages will happen, and the Day of Judgment will be established upon them. And then the next hadith, the superiority of comprehending knowledge, or the virtue of comprehending knowledge. Islamical.
So
So the virtue of comprehending knowledge, narrated Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. So this is the same hadith that we had before, with a slightly different wording, I think. We were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and fresh, actually, it's the core of the date palm was brought to him. And on that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Among the trees, there is a tree which resembles a Muslim. I wanted to say that it was the date palm, but as I was the youngest of all of them, I kept quiet." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It is the date palm tree." So how is that hadith talking about the virtue of understanding something correctly? Because we did cover this hadith before, didn't we? What is it about this hadith? Because we said that understanding, that's something which Allah grants someone, and that's something special, and it's a gift and so on, and this shows the virtue of that. So how does this hadith prove the point that Bukhari is making? So what was special about Ibn Umar and what happened in that situation? That was out of his shyness and his modesty. But he was the only one who got it. You see, so all the other companions were there. He was the only one who got the understanding. The light bulb lit up in his mind. So that's what he's trying to say, yeah? So this shows the virtue of understanding, that Allah grant may grant someone understanding of an issue, and others might not get it. Yeah, and as I said, it's the jummar, which is the core. Apparently, I don't know, but there's like a sweet thing inside the center of the palm tree, which is the core of it or something. And if the tree is like fallen down, you can remove it and eat it. Okay, and then the Prophet talked to. Refer the characteristics of the palm tree to being that similar to the believer. But Ibn Umar was the one who understood. So that showed his virtue in this issue, but he kept quiet out of shyness in front of Umar and Abu Bakr, his father, obviously Umar. And he said that, and then Umar said, "I would have liked to have said that. You know, I wish you would have said that." So he would have wanted that. You understand that? And then the next hadith is wishing to be like the one who has knowledge and hikmah, having wisdom, knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. So from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said, La hasada illa fi ithnain, that there is literally no hasad, no jealousy, but I'll come on to that in a second. Except in two scenarios, or except for two people. The first is a person to whom Allah has given wealth and he spends it in a good way, in a righteous way. And the second is one whom Allah has given wisdom, understanding the Quran of the religion and so on, and he acts according to it and teaches it to others. So Sheikh Abdul Razak mentions that hasad in itself is when you want something which someone else has and you want them to be deprived of it. Okay? But the more precise word taken from the context is here is ghibta, where you want the same thing that someone else has, but you don't want them to lose out on it. So it's instead of being envious, it's like you aspire, you have an aspiration to be the same or have the same characteristics. Okay? And there's another hadith. So the two things are met which are mentioned about knowledge and applying it and having wealth and using it in a good way. Okay? And there's another hadith which sort of goes along the similar lines, where the Prophet ﷺ said, the world has only four kinds of people. There is one who Allah has granted wealth and knowledge. So he fears his Lord regarding them, upholds the family ties, and fulfills the rights of Allah over him. He is in the best position. Then there is one who Allah has granted knowledge without wealth. He has sincere intention, and he says, if I had wealth, I would have acted like this person, like the first person. If that is his intention, he will have the same reward as the first one. Then there is one whom Allah granted wealth without knowledge. He squanders his wealth in ignorance. He does not fear Allah in it. He does not fulfill his duties to his family. He does not fulfill the rights of Allah over him. He will be in the worst position. Okay? And then the fourth one is there is one whom Allah has granted neither wealth nor knowledge. And if he had wealth, he says, if I had wealth, I would have acted like the third person, the one before. If that is his intention, then he will have the same sin as him. Excellent. So having right knowledge, sound knowledge and wealth and utilizing both in the right way. Yeah. So knowledge and practically applying your wealth in a good way. And he said, Sallatahu, he said, interesting, he said that the word use with regards to using money, that you use money in a good way. Sallatahu comes from sultan, like control. Yeah. So you have control over the money and you spend it in a good way, or the money controls you and you get taken over by it and you use it in all sorts of haram ways. Just a language point there. So we should aspire to having sound knowledge and utilizing what we have in a good way. Okay, and then the last hadith, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah, bestow upon him, meaning Ibn Abbas, knowledge of the book. From Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, so I think I should have corrected that. It should be Ibn Abbas, because it's about Ibn Abbas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embraced Ibn Abbas and said, O Allah, bestow upon him knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the book. Okay. And this show what shows the importance of making dua for yourself, for knowledge, and for others. Okay, because that's what the Prophet did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Ibn Abbas. And again indicates that knowledge is a gift from Allah. Yeah, we can do all the effort, but it's Allah who will actually grant it. So we should make dua for ourselves, for others, for our children, for our friends, to have knowledge and understanding. And that shows the kindness of the Prophet. He embraced him in that manner and then said, "Oh Allah, bestow upon him the knowledge of the book." And then he was known as Habrul Ummah, like the learned one of the Ummah, Ibn Abbas. And he had a great, great knowledge of the Quran. And Mujahid said that I recited the whole Quran to Ibn Abbas, and he stopped me at each ayah explaining some lessons or some points from that. So Mujahid, who was a tabi'i, learned from Ibn Abbas. And also, Ar-Rasikhina fil ilm, he was saying that that referred to Ibn Abbas. The firmly grounded in knowledge, which are mentioned in the Quran, that's understood to be Ibn Abbas as an example of that. Okay, I think that's it, inshallah.
So the first hadith you mentioned
Yeah.
wasn't